their magazine a copy of the book and said, hey, you know, I'd love it if you'd review it, and I'd love it even more if we did an interview. And so I got exposure that way. So I knew that PR people would be interested in both of my publicity books. So, you know, you kind of market to warm and then expand outward from there.
And some of this whole process of building book buzz is beyond thinking about the target. I'm thinking about the author that is really a good writer, and they write a great book, whatever it is, nonfiction, fiction, children's, whatever it is. But then they don't have a clue how to do this whole marketing thing that we're talking about tonight. They're like, I'm a hermit. I don't even get out.
Yeah. I really like to write. I don't like to do the rest of it.
Yeah.
And I think most of us fit into that category.
We do.
And here is the sad thing. If you want people to know about your book, and I think you do, then you have to come out of your shell and promote it. But there are ways you can do it that aren't going to make you uncomfortable. So, and we can talk a little bit about that won't make you uncomfortable and that feel authentic to who you are, which I also think is important. And that also touches on some of the questions. Some of the questions that came through for tonight's call were basically, how do I promote my book without being overbearing or without appearing to be hawking it, you know, without being always sales, sales, sales? There are many ways you can do it and yet stay in your comfort zone. And another one of the questions was, gosh, I'm not in a position to leave my home to go promote my book. And I thought, hallelujah, you don't have to. You know, I've never left my home to promote any of my books. I do it all through the computer and over the phone. So, you know, some of the sorts of things that you can do where I think that won't take you past that comfort zone for those of you who don't like to market. One example is social networking. And there were a lot of questions about social networking. And one of the questions was, can you give us statistics on how many books are sold through social networking and or how many connections have led to book sales? No. Nobody's tracking that. Nobody's tracking social networking linked to book sales, and it would be really impossible to track. But what we do know is that social networking can help you connect with people on a one-on-one level that is really easy for some people, because what you can do is share information about your topic that will help other people. You're not saying, Terry, let's talk about your book being publishing. So when you're using social networking, and I know how you use it because I've watched you, and you're a great example. Terry, you're not always out there saying, hey, I wrote a book, buy it, here's the link. Or, hey, my book's selling well, here's the link. Hey,
no.
Want to buy my book? Here's the link. No, what you're doing is you're saying, you know, here's some interesting information on the publishing business. Did you know that, you know, 5 out of every 100 self-published authors, you know, gets a deal with a traditional publisher or whatever. You know, I'm making that up.
Sure.
You share information that helps people in your target audience do something better, you know, that's related to your book's topic. You're helpful. You're very helpful. And I think that's what comes easiest to a lot of people on the call. Oh, sure, they can share information about their area of expertise. They can do that very easily. And that's how you do it. You just, you know, you help other people. And in the process of helping other people, they get to know you better. They learn that, oh, you've written a book. Oh, gosh, they have a friend who's interested in that topic. Maybe they'll send the link to that friend. And it all kinds of mushrooms. Now, that's on a real kind of a one-on-one level, which I think is helpful. The other thing I always really encourage authors to do is to use publicity, because that is the opposite of one-on-one. That's kind of mass market. That's where you're sending out press releases, or you're identifying story or segment ideas that fit with the target media that your audience reads, watches, and listens to. And you're pitching that media outlet on this story or segment idea. And this story or segment then uses you as an expert resource. It's not a book review, and it's not a news announcement. Hey, a new book is out. Isn't this cool? It's a story about your topic that draws on you as well as other sources of information to generate a large article or perhaps a news segment. So both of those can be done in a kind of,
sure,
you know, hands-off, sort of distant way. You can do all of this without talking to anybody until you get an interview, until somebody wants to interview. But even then, you know, I do lots of radio interviews, and when my Why Can't a Man Be More Like a Woman was first out, I was doing them in morning drive time with bed hair, a flannel nightgown, a cup of tea at my desk, and my feet up on my desk.
Terrific.
You know, it doesn't get much easier than that.
Well, we do have a couple of questions here about radio interviews, and you've mentioned that kind of thing several times. I mean, I understand authors move a lot of books on the radio, and Diana asked, how do, just simply here, how do I get more radio interviews?
Yeah, you know, you get more radio interviews, first of all, that's one thing about some of these questions. You really, it's hard to answer them off the top because I always need more information about the book, but you get more radio interviews, first of all, by having a book that's of interest to a radio audience. So if your book is on nuclear physics, unless you can find some kind of consumer angle to nuclear physics, like the effect of nuclear physics on the tax assessment of your house, perhaps, you'll have trouble getting radio interviews. So you have to be able to talk about a topic that a radio audience will be interested in, and there are different types of radio audiences. You know, there's older audiences, there's female, there's younger, there's male, you know, and each radio station has its own format. So what's your topic? Which of those audiences is going to be interested in your book? And then you have to get a good story, a good interview topic into the email inboxes of the producers of those morning drive time radio shows, or sometimes, you know, it's the public affairs program depending on your topic and that sort of thing. And the next question then is, well, what kinds of story? You know, what could I talk about? What sorts of things would get me more interviews?
And do you book those yourself, or do you have somebody
booking
those for you?
Yeah, no, you can do a couple things, and yes, you can book them yourselves. You know, I've got on my website, if you go to my buildbookbuzz.com and go to the products page and scroll down, I've got a link to an audio program that teaches people how to get radio publicity, and it's a really fabulous and very, very affordable program. I did a teleseminar with the guy who created it, and he was just fantastic. He's a radio talk show host himself, and he's really excellent with the content. You get a PDF with the program, and the PDF includes a link to a website that connects you with all the radio stations in the country. Now, that's kind of time-consuming, though. You know, you have to go to, you just click, you know, copy, paste, click, copy, paste. You can do it. I have a couple college-age kids. I would outsource that to my kids, and I have done that. You know, that click, copy, paste stuff. Find an intern to do it. The other option, you got two other options. You can buy a database of, you know, radio talk show producers and do a mass mailing to them. But, you know, it's a couple $100s for access to a database. Or you can buy an ad in Radio TV Interview Reports, which is also on the high side. On the other hand, if you've got a great radio topic, it is well worth it. They put together fabulous ads for you. And absolutely, if you've got a made-for-radio topic, it will get your phone ringing off the hook. But let's go back to the do-it-yourself model, because I know a lot of us are in, you know, cost-saving mode. You can go to these sites and even Google it. Google radio station directory or something like that to get to a free site. And then sit there and do the whole copy and paste to build a database. And then you need to think about how can I get this producer's or this host's attention? Controversy works. They really like controversy. So if you can take your topic and give it some kind of controversial or counterintuitive angle, that would help a lot. That makes a big difference. You know, I saw a guy interviewed on the Today Show just this week, and he's the author of a book called 13 Bankers. And his little counterintuitive twist that got him onto the Today Show that shows you this thinking is, you know, we've all heard during this crisis that the banks were too big to fail, right? We all know this. The banks were too big to fail. We have to bail them out. Well, his theory is, and this is what got him on TV, the Today Show, what if we made the banks too small to fail? So this is a nugget that's been pulled out of his book. It's not his whole book. It's a nugget that's been pulled out of his book, and it's used as his media pitch. This got him on the Today Show. That's the kind of little tweak or counterintuitive thinking that you can apply to your topic to make it more appealing to radio.
And you have in your templates here, you have a radio talk show email pitch template, and you have a sample radio talk show email pitch. So you have some of the tools, but once you let's say I book a radio program.
Yeah.
While I'm on that program, how do I weave in about my book without being an annoying?
Yeah, great question, yeah. Terry. Excellent question. You don't, as a matter of fact. That is your host job. That is the host job. And if you're a really good guest, the better a guest you are, the more your host is going to mention your book title. And your host has that all up in front. That's part of the material. He or she knows that's their job, and they will do that. Of course, if you annoy them, maybe they won't. But if you're a good guest, believe me, they will support you. And you can also donate books to the radio station for them to give away to callers. And then that's a great way. They have to give the title of the book because they have to tell people what they're phoning in for as part of the contest. But it is the host's job to mention your book title. Your job is not to sell the book. Your job is to talk about the topic of your book. It doesn't matter what it is. You don't want to be promotional about your book, and you don't want to say, the worst thing you can say on radio is, well, you know, to get the answer to that question, you'll have to buy my book. Don't want to do that. That's kiss of death. And by the way, if you're a good radio guest, those radio people share guest information. They have their whole little underground network.
Wow.
Where they pass along information. Hey, had a great guest on the show this week. You will love her. I highly recommend her. Give her a call. They will share your contact information with their colleagues in other stations if they think you're good.
That's great.
Yeah, it's really cool. That's why you want to be a good guest. And the best way to be a good guest is to share helpful information, you know, to be lively, informative, and interesting. And one tip for doing radio interviews, stand up. Don't get all comfy in your chair, you know, in the kitchen or wherever. Stand up, because when you stand up, your voice has more energy and you project better. So always stand up when doing telephone interviews.
Wow, that's a great tip too. Stand up. I wouldn't have thought of that, really.
Yeah.
Well, now, somebody here asked about Pat, for example, asked about the importance of galleys for book reviews. Do people do that much anymore, or is it all e-galleys, or what's happening in that area?
No, galleys are still going out. And Pat's question was, you know, who do we send galleys to? There are the basics like Publishers Weekly and Library Journal and that sort of thing. She said there are the basics you send galleys to, but who else should we send them to? And the answer to that, Pat, is it depends on your book. There is not a blanket answer for that. It depends on your book. If your book would be of interest to specific trade magazines and they do book reviews, then you send it to them. I think Pat included her question, and of course you send it to book reviewers at daily newspapers. Well, there are only a couple of daily newspapers that review books anymore, unfortunately.
Sure.
You know, we're talking like maybe the New York Times, definitely. You know, there's always talk. I think the Chicago Tribune might have gotten rid of their book review section, and then maybe the LA Times, and maybe the Boston Globe.
These places get hundreds of books.
Tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of books. So you really need to be judicious. You really need to be honest with yourself and say, is this a New York Times book review book or not? And you know what? Most of us don't write books that are going to get reviewed by the New York Times.
No.
That's just the reality. So send your galleys to, again, those media outlets that are most likely to be interested in your book. If it's a book related to, oh my gosh, my friend Dara Chadwick has this great, great book about, it's called You'd Be So Pretty If, and it's about how women handle their own attitude about their own body image has an impact on their daughters, and how we as mothers shouldn't always be talking about how we need to go on a diet because it makes our